At the top of our program today, efforts continue on the Lansing City Council and in the local media to learn more about the mysterious and costly departure of a former city attorney. Back in February, Janine McIntyre agreed to a $160,000 separation agreement with the administration of Mayor Virge Bernero. Neither Ms. McIntyre nor the mayor has explained what led to her departure. The mayor negotiated the agreement with McIntyre with assistance from the law firm Dykema Gossett. The Lansing City Council was not included in the process. Later, the mayor described it as poor politics, but good business. One of our next guests says that on Monday she'll recommend that her fellow city council members hire outside legal help to learn more about the deal. Judy Brown Clark currently serves as president of the council. We are also joined by Eric Lacey, who's reported on this story for the Lansing State Journal. Eric writes in this morning's paper about additional documents about the McIntyre situation that were just made public yesterday. Judy Brown Clark, Eric Lacey, welcome back to Current State.
Good morning.
Let's begin with your story first in the LSJ today. Eric, you came into documents yesterday that tell us more about the role of Dykema Gossett in the separation agreement. They worked with the city and with Mayor Bernero, it appears, in this process. Talk to us about what we learned.
Yeah, well, you know, from the State Journal standpoint, we're just trying to piece together what we're able to get through the Freedom of Information Act. And, you know, it's kind of coming in bits and pieces. And, you know, what we got this week was more of a complete invoice from the Dykema Gossett law firm, which has an office in Lansing, has an office in Detroit. And we got a little bit more details as far as a breakdown of the legal hours that were billed to the city. And from what we can tell, at least so far, that the city was on the hook for about almost $10,000, a little over $9,000 for sure. And but in that, there were two lawyers that billed the city for hours of their services during the separation agreement negotiations for that McIntyre deal. But there's a third lawyer that's in question right now, because back in the end of March, Randy Hannon, Virge Bernero's executive assistant, mentioned this guy's name, Gary Gordon. So we've been trying to find out for weeks now, you know, who paid Gary Gordon to do the job as far as representing the city, as far as negotiating this separation agreement that the former city attorney Janine McIntyre got, which was a pretty big chunk of change, over $160,000. And I know Judy here will tell you that it was probably more of like a $200,000 deal when you factored in health care and things like that.
So the bottom line is there were three Dykema Gossett attorneys who worked with the city and or the mayor on this separation agreement, and we found out that two of them yesterday were paid by the city. It's not clear who paid Gary Gordon, and there's questions as to whether that may have come from the mayor's account. I mean, the mayor has a 527 account. It's legal, a 527 account, a city administrative fund. Is that kind of your number one question at this point, Eric?
Yeah, I mean, from what I can tell, I mean, I looked at the quarterly report of that account. It's called the City Administrative Fund, I believe, and anybody can look it up. It's publicly accessible if you know the number that it falls under, and on the IRS website, you can just punch in some numbers and pull it up. I mean, there's no indication from any transactions in that account that anything went to the Dykema Gossett law firm, but it does, I think, bring into question, who was he working for? Who was Gary Gordon working for, and who paid him? I find it hard to believe that a lawyer would be working for free on something like this.
Judy Brown Clark, you've had contact with Gary Gordon here in the past. He apparently mistakenly said that he was working for the mayor at one point and came back and said, I misspoke when I said that. What do you take from Eric's story here today in the end?
Well, he's reflecting what we're learning, too. Mr. Gordon left a message on my voicemail. We were kind of playing telephone tag. I had left on his message some specific questions. And so when he responded to me, he was responding to those questions. And so one thing I was getting clarification of, who was the client?
Mm-hmm. And that's still not clear, then, I take it, whether the client was the mayor or whether the client was the city?
I think it's clear on how it wants to be framed, but I think from our perspective, if you look at what's said and what's not said, And if you look at what he said, I mean, who doesn't know their client when they're working for them? And so to backtrack and to clarify, and you said that, you know, it's my understanding that Mr. Bonero is my client, then I have to think that the scope of your work was targeted at specifically Mr. Bonero and not necessarily the city.
Eric Lacy, I take it the new information doesn't shed any more light on why Janine McIntyre left the city.
Yeah, I mean, to my knowledge, we still don't know why. And I will say, in fairness to Mayor Bonero, I did ask him several weeks ago when he came in for an editorial board meeting at the State Journal, you know, if I gave him another opportunity to explain what he could about it and, you know, what he said it was bad politics, but good business. He believed that deal was in the best interest of the city. That's what he told us. And I did ask him, did you pay for your own legal counsel? And he said, no, why would I? So right now, since we believe at the State Journal, this involves public money, since I'm sure Judy would also say this too. I mean, all sorts of people in the community want to know what's going on. And I'm sure she's fielded some probably interesting calls, maybe some crazy ones too, of people speculating what happened. But I think the public has a right to know what happened, especially when last, what, June, Peter Lark, the former BWL general manager, walked away with $650,000. So $650,000 here, $160,000 there. We're not talking about chump change here.
It's taxpayer money. The documents say that the documents that you came into yesterday, Eric, say that her departure, Janine McIntyre's departure, was approved according to provisions of the Family Medical Leave Act. Judy Brown Clark, do you take anything from that? Could a medical issue be involved here, or what?
Well, we don't know under the FMLA, Family Medical Leave Act. Obviously, whatever the condition is personal and private. So whatever the justification for the FMLA, we don't know. But what we do know is that there's a process how FMLA is administered, and that process doesn't seem to comport with the typical way in which you do FMLA. And so when you're on FMLA, you're using, you know, all of your entitlement time. You're using vacation time, sick time, personal time until you exhaust that. And so we're trying to figure out what her time was. You know, how was she accruing time has also been an interesting formula we haven't quite figured out, because that was where the $33,000 came into for part of the bundle of the $160,000.
Right. Judy Brown Clark is president of the Lansing City Council. Eric Lacy is a reporter for the Lansing State Journal. We're talking about Judy Brown Clark's intention to bring to a vote Monday night a proposal to hire outside legal assistance to learn more about this separation agreement involving a former city attorney, Janine McIntyre. Let's move to that. You still tell us about the plan that you want to put before the council on Monday night.
Well, where we are is, you know, as council, we're limited in what we can and can't do. So we've pulled in all the existing and active FOIAs, which we received yesterday, which there were over 200. We've asked for the billing. We've, as a matter of fact, the Lansing State Journal has been more effective in receiving documents than we have. When Ms. McIntyre was first announced her leave, her departure, that press release was sent to the Lansing State Journal. To this date, we have not officially received that. So there's been a lot of information that has been obtained through FOIAs. And that's how we as council have received our information. So there's not a lot of cooperation and transparency within communication. So for us, as far as what we can do legislatively, the only way we can get our questions answered would be to get some legal assistance to kind of unpack what we do know, what we still need to know. And other than that, our hands are, we've pretty much exhausted our process.
Are you confident you'll learn more here in the coming days, Eric?
Yeah, we're still waiting. I hope so. We're going to keep trying. You know, we still have Freedom of Information Act requests out there that the city attorney's office needs to respond to. And we will pursue this by any means necessary to make sure we get responses back. We're considering seeking our own legal counsel. Maybe I'm spilling the beans there. Maybe I'll get in trouble back in the office for saying that. But we take this really seriously. And, you know, I don't want to give any impression we're ganging up on the mayor, we're ganging up on the administration. But we're all for good government. We're all for transparency, just like the mayor was talking about after the 2013 BWL ice storm blowback that he received and the city-owned utility received, you know. And people have a right to know, especially in the city of Lansing, what's going on. Why was there a $160,000 payment? That's a lot of money for any community. And in Lansing, what? What's the average income of somebody in Lansing? Maybe a little under $50,000. So you're talking about $160,000, more than three times the amount of money that maybe the average person in Lansing makes a year. So that's a lot to look at.
If you had your way, would the paper line up legal assistance in this matter?
I think we need to wait a little bit more. I can tell you on my own, I cut a $38 check for a FOIA I'm still waiting to get information for that I think could be maybe revealing, maybe not, but that'll probably, talking to one of my editors, Elaine Kulhanek, who's been working tirelessly and helping me and guiding me in this. When we get that back, it's going to be a story either way. I mean, we're gonna let folks know what we're getting back each time we're filing FOIAs.
Judy Brown Clark, another city council member, told me yesterday she intends not to go along with your resolution. Kathy Dunbar tells me the separation agreement was subject to a confidentiality clause, and there's nothing more an outside attorney could learn. What do you think of that?
We'll agree to disagree. I think there's a lot of information. Number one, the separation agreement, I would like you to come in tomorrow and say that you're going to resign and see if Michigan State pays for your salary for the remainder of the year and gives you full benefits other than the fact you asked. So it's, you know, there's a lot of pieces to this that just don't, I mean, you don't have a severance pay without cause. You don't pay somebody's health insurance for the remainder of the year without cause. You don't make a comment as relates to it's in the best interest. It's not, you know, politically correct, but it's a business decision without cause. So it represents more than just the separation of Ms. McIntyre. And if, you know, and so obviously some of us are more interested than others. I am very interested, and I think it represents something that needs some clarity and transparency. So she will vote no. I will vote yes.
Have you done a head count yet? Are you confident the measure will pass, or do you need more votes?
You'll see on Monday.
Do you know?
You know what? Today is Friday. Monday comes. We'll see. But I know that we're going to be transparent. There will be no question as it relates to us as a council that's transparent. And people are you know, and here's the beauty of being able to take your own information, be discriminate as to what your constituents want. So it's not really what Judy wants. Judy's doing the job of what she was voted in to do. So I'm not representing what I want. I'm representing what my constituents are asking me to do.
Last Friday, the city's interim attorney, Joe Abood, told the Lansing State Journal, your paper, Eric, that, quote, the city does not have the requested records. All of this gets back to copies of the separation agreement. The city claims it does not have those. What do you make of that response?
Yeah, well, and that what he mentioned was a 2015 contract extension amendment to an existing contract that covered her for 2016. And I think a lot of folks find it hard to believe that nobody can find a signed contract extension she signed and the mayor signed. It just apparently is nowhere. And in addition to that, other contract extensions for other department heads, those apparently can't be found either. So it all goes back to transparency. And, you know, I go back to with this Gary Gordon thing. Randy Hannon, the mayor's executive assistant, mentioned in a March public meeting Gary Gordon's name. So why doesn't the public have every right to know what Gary Gordon's role was in having negotiations dealing with public money? It's as simple as that. And with these contracts, they're public contracts. It's public information, and nobody seems to be able to find them within City Hall. I find that kind of hard to believe, to be honest with you.
Judy Brown Clark, do you think a hard copy of the separation agreement is in the possession of the city administration? Or do you, or as Eric wrote, it may not exist. What do you think?
I'm not sure. Do I believe that I you know, knowing the capability of everyone involved, knowing how things typically work, I can't imagine that this documentation would not be available. Mm. And so I'm very interested in seeing what's within it.
Seems safe to assume Dykema Gossett may have the information as well, but they're not a public body, so I presume you cannot FOIA Dykema Gossett here.
Yeah, well, and just to clarify, you know, there was a separation agreement made public by the administration, but we're trying to piece together other documents that apparently were tallied up to create the payout that she received as part of the separation agreement. So, you know, missing contracts, contracts that weren't signed. I think Judy would agree with me there. You know, where does it all add up to where it came out to this $160,000 payout? Where did it all add up where she got all this vacation time and leave time and sick time, which was like something like, what, 400 hours or whatever it was when she left? You know, that's a pretty sweet deal for anybody on their way out, especially an at-will employee. So, you know, again, please provide an explanation. And to my knowledge, I've been at the LSJ for about over a year, and I think Mayor Bonero has been to one council meeting since I've been there, and ask him about that. Maybe he's been to more, and I want to be fair to him. But I did ask him, why aren't you attending more city council meetings? And he said, well, I'm represented. And who represents him at these meetings is his executive assistant, Randy Hannon.
Yeah. I want to make clear to our listeners that on more than one occasion in the past, we've invited Mayor Bonero onto the program to talk about this and other issues, and we've been unsuccessful, but we will continue to try. We want to thank both of our guests, Eric Lacey, a reporter for the Lansing State Journal, Judy Brown-Clark, president of the Lansing City Council, who on Monday intends to propose that the city council hire outside legal assistance to learn more about the departure and all of the mystery surrounding the departure of former city attorney Janine McIntyre. Judy Brown-Clark, Eric Lacey, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.